Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 67 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Vortex, the power of optics. That's new. So here's the deal with that. I have to tell you, thank you very much to the folks over at Vortex Canada for sponsoring the CCFR Radio Podcast for at least the next 6 months. So Vortex reached out and said, how can we help? Can we sponsor you guys? Is there anything to sponsor? And we said, well, you can sponsor the podcast. And they sent us the money in 20 minutes. So, I'm not saying that we're buying a new building and putting CCFR on the top, but, I just can't tell you how appreciative I am for people like Vortex Canada and the other businesses and gun clubs and individuals that have sent us money over the last month, really. So it's hard times out there, yet people still believe that we're the horse to bet on, in this race to save their firearms. And I will tell you, I can't tell you how meaningful that is. Both, it's great that we can do the things like the lawsuit and purchase advertising and do the quiz websites and all the rest of the stuff that we do, but just that you trust us to do that kind of stuff, because it's really meaningful to us. And when people donate, like, don't ever think for a second that I don't remind everybody that has a hand in running the CCFR where our money comes from. And especially in individual memberships or individual donations, small dollar donations, you got somebody that might even be unemployed right now, prying $40 out of their wallet and, or freeing up $40 on their maxed credit card to send it to us because they trust us enough and think that they want to play some part in saving their own guns like that. It's beyond me how people, if there's people out there that don't understand the meaning of that. So anyway, it's sacred to us. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate all of your support. It's not a joke. It's really serious to us. So anyway, so that's great. I probably spent too much time, but it's really important to me that you guys understand that and that the trust that you have in us is really meaningful. All right. Anyway, that's like the ninth take that I did, by the way, a little behind the scenes, because I look at the recorder running and it's like 5 minutes. I'm like, dude, you've been talking about this for 5 minutes. Anyway, so today on the podcast, trying to make it shorter. Today on the podcast, it's going to be really quick. There's not going to be any entertainment whatsoever. It's going to be just a CCFR update. And you're going to find out why I am short on time during the update. Okay. So the first thing I want to update you on right now is our legal action against the Canadian government. All right. So here's the deal. In the last podcast, you may have heard Mike Loberg. I can't remember if he explained this, but anyway, I think I've mentioned this before, but regardless, there's two ways that you can take an action against the government or against anybody. It's through a statement of claim or an application. The statement of claim is a long process, anywhere from a year to 5 years, depending on what happens and the complexity of the case and how far it goes and whether it's appealed and all that stuff. The advantage of the statement of claim is that you can provide more evidence as the case goes on. The disadvantage is the length of time, right? Now, you can also go forward using an application. Well, the application can be concluded anywhere from a year to 3 years, somewhere around there, right? So you get justice quicker, as you might say. But the disadvantage is that you have to provide basically all the evidence or the bulk of the evidence before you even file. It has to be in the filing. Now, there's some ways around providing evidence after that. I'm not going to get into that. There's a lot of nuance there. But anyway, that's a disadvantage. You have to have the bulk of your case there ahead of time. So it's looking like we're looking for an application because we want to win the points that we want to win. We want to lose the points that we want to lose, because even if you lose on some aspects of the case, like the decision doesn't go your way, you get something of value, which is clarity. So you want to do cases like this either to win them, to change the law, to create precedent, right? So you're treated more fairly. Or if you lose, at least you get clarity. Now, when you approach these cases, the reason why, and I mentioned this before, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, right? But I mentioned before the reason why the CCFR is going all the way is if the government is making the case, using government level resources on behalf of the CCFR and our members and supporters, is because if there is clarity created. There's a decision written. We don't want a decision that goes against us that's not favorable because we sent one guy to court and we gave him a budget of 100 grand or something, right? Hopefully I'm explaining that right so that you understand. We have a full team of highly experienced litigators with a budget that the government would be coming to court with. That way, if we get clarity and it's something that we lose on, at least we know it wasn't something that we could have won had we tried harder, if that makes sense. And then in the things that we can win, we want to make sure if they are winnable, that we are the team to do it, that we can actually win it instead of like, well, it was winnable. There wasn't enough resources or it wasn't the right people. So we lost and now there's a bad precedent floating around because that's really hard to break, right? So anyway, all that to say, that's why we're approaching it the way we are. It's looking like we're going to go via application, but that means that there's a front load of work. I have to drop everything for the next week and a half to help make sure that if there's expert witnesses needed, if there's testimony or affidavits needed from specific people that I help and that I can say, oh, you know, who would really be able to contribute to that would be this person. I'll call them. So it's everybody's dropping everything. They're clearing their desks to make this happen, including our team and Loberg and myself and Wilson. And then we have to run other stuff at the same time. So that's very difficult. So anyway, this is the reason why you're not getting a full podcast for at least the next week or two, maybe. Now, our filing should come in the next week and a half. So that's what we're aiming for. Our team thinks that we can do it, but the one thing, and I'm not running this, I'm nobody. But I don't want us to be unprepared. So, and I don't think our team would ever let us be. So if it goes 2 weeks or even a little bit over, it's probably me putting on the brakes to make sure that everything's done right, as if they need me to do it. They're the professionals. But anyway, that's what you're looking at. Now, let's talk about money. So 1 week ago, I made a video called The CCFR's Biggest Announcement Since the Ban. It received 207,000 views in a week, and it's still going up because when I started recording this, it was at 205,000. So I got 2,000 views in the, I don't know, 40 minutes that I've been screwing around with the podcast, trying to get it right? And so that's awesome. So people started donating, and some people put annotations on their donations as saying, you know, I want this to go only to the legal fund. And that's fine. So here's what we're doing with the money. And this is really important. And as I mentioned in the video, like it's really important that we maintain our position of trust. Forget the CCFR for a second. That is critical to my psyche as an individual that people trust us, right? And I go to great lengths to make sure that we do not ever betray anyone's trust, even when it works against us, right? Even when it's not convenient, because that's really that's the definition of integrity, right? It's doing the right thing even when it's not good for you. So anyway, I went out of my way to let you know we have not filed anything. And I went out of my way to make sure if you notice, I never asked for donations, not once. In fact, I didn't even imply we're going to take donations for this case, but people started donating. So here's what's going on. We have a trust account set up. If you're not sure what a lawyer's trust account is, that's the kind of account that when you're transferring something like a house or a business, you know, so in the case of a residential property, let's say, when the title gets transferred, the money from the customer has to go into a trust account. It's held in the trust account in escrow. Then the transfer is executed. And then the money is released from escrow. So no one ever has the money and the deed for the house, right? Has the title for the house at the same time. So those accounts are insured, they're government regulated, they're audited, all the rest of that stuff. So what we've decided to do is use an actual trust account to keep money for lawsuits in. So the CCFR has seeded that trust account with the money that we've received, well, about 80% of it, the money that, because we didn't get, not all the money was for the case, right? But people specifically put these things on their, you know, like notes on their donations that they want to go there. All that money is going into a trust account separate from the CCFR's operating account. So the CCFR seeded money in there to pay the retainer, which was expensive, but we had enough to do it. So we paid that. All of the donations that were for the lawsuit are going to be going into that trust account as well. And then what the CCFR is going to do is we are actually going to raise money specifically for the lawsuit. When that money comes in using that link, right? donate to the legal fund. That money will come into our CRM. We will recognize it, and that money will go into that trust account directly. Okay, so that's how we're going to do it. So now the money that's in that trust account, if that is enough to cover, this is really important that you guys know exactly how we're handling this. If that's enough to cover this lawsuit and any future lawsuits that we have filed already, then that's great. That money will sit there for a while after that. If it's not used and we're not taking any other worthwhile actions, that will go back into general revenue. So I'm telling you that up front. If that money's not enough, then the CCFR will cover the difference to finish those lawsuits. So membership dollars, stuff like that, that goes into general revenue, and we do the national education program, television shows, and all the rest of that stuff with that kind of money, right? But you will have an opportunity to donate for specifically for the lawsuit, and that's where that money will end up in that trust account specifically. So anyway, as I said, you may not even be interested in this stuff, but it's really important to me that you understand exactly how we're handling that money and where your money is going when you donate it. Okay. All right. So there's that dealt with. Man, that's a lot of talking. You can hear my voice is getting hoarse already. Next thing I want to talk about real quick is no candidate endorsement is what I've got on my list. Now, we did a town hall meeting with Aaron O'Toole the day before yesterday. And some people are like, oh, you know, are you endorsing Aaron O'Toole? And I'm like, no, you know, and Tracy Wilson went out of her way to let people know we do not endorse candidates. We didn't endorse a candidate last time. And we're never going to endorse a candidate, period. The CCFR doesn't have to do that. We will work with whoever wins and we will give everyone an equal shot. It's no problem. Because that's fair. We're not here to tell you who to vote for. We're just here to ask the questions that gun owners want to know the answers to. We're here to ask, I'll be selfish. I'm here to ask the questions of people like O'Toole or McKay or anyone else. I'm here to ask questions that I want asked too, because my questions can be a little bit more detailed maybe. I would really like to get legislation fixed, right? So get rid of variants and converted full autos and not being able to shoot any guns that you own on your property if you live in an area where you can legally and safely discharge firearms, stuff like that, right? And that's the kind of stuff that kind of gets glossed over sometimes in these big firearm platforms, right? So we did this town hall thing with Aaron O'Toole. I thought it was awesome. We're going to do one with Peter McKay. I believe it's on the 20th. Don't quote me on that. We'll notify everybody when that happens. So we're going to do one with Peter McKay, and then the other two candidates, we will get them as soon as we can. We have been in contact with everyone's campaign. So don't worry, everybody's going to get Sloan and Lewis will both get an opportunity as well, because it's the opportunities for everybody. So I just want to make it clear, we do not endorse candidates. It's not for us to do that. I guess I could say, unfortunately, we have become partisan to some degree because of the actions of the Liberal government and the Bloc and the NDP, if you count the Greens, whatever, right? We can't be nonpartisan anymore because we're under full attack. So there's no value in that right now. So the CPC is really the only game in town that has the resources and that has enough power. Not saying they're in perfect shape right now, because they certainly are not. I could go on all day about that. But they are the only game in town right now for us, especially if a snap election is called, like we think, sometime in June or July. Look forward to that. So anyway, hopefully that doesn't happen, but it could. So we just wanted you guys to understand we do not endorse candidates. So if we're giving somebody a platform, it's because we're giving everybody a platform. Next thing, be careful of scam sites. Man, this is something that popped up today. So there's this new group called Coalition Against Canadian Firearm Bans, and they're running around on Facebook. Their Facebook group got pretty quick, and they're looking for donations. But yet there's no identifying information at all on About Us. They do not have a corporation in Canada. Mike took a look. There's nothing. There's no identifying information anywhere who's involved in this thing, but yet they want to take donations. So I don't know. This could be legit and it's just not ready yet. Or it could be a total scam. I have no idea. We have had no contact with these people. Apparently Tracy Wilson had gotten, and this is secondhand information, so I will tell you flat out, I have no idea. I've not verified this myself. But apparently Tracy Wilson was admitted into their Facebook group, but was unable to get get the ability to post anything. So anyway, it looks a little weird. So Coalition Against Canadian Firearms Ban 2020 is their Facebook group. And we don't know who these people are. It looks like there's some of the moderators look like they might be legit actual people, but the people that own the page, it looks like their Facebook profiles were made like 2 weeks ago. So I don't know. They are not affiliated with us. Don't give them money thinking you're giving it to us. You're not. The only place to give us money is firearmrights.ca. You can e-transfer us money at finance@firearmrights.ca, right? Remember, it's not firearms, is not plural. It's one firearm, many rights, is the way someone figured out how to memorize it. finance@firearmrights.ca. That's the best way to send money if you're sending it, because then we pay no fees to any processors. But that's the only way to give us money or send us a check. So these people are not affiliated with us whatsoever. If it is a scam, that's pretty bad. If not, I think you guys need to clarify what you're doing. Anyway, so there's that. What else do I have for you? So I do still have, again, that episode, that interview with Barry Holland, right? The author of No More Mr. Nice Guy. Even though I've been pushing off his second interview because I haven't had time to fix it because the audio was kind of screwed up, at least Barry's getting extra mentions, which is, I guess he's got the end all be all guide to self-defense with or without firearms in Canada. And you can find, I'm going to give him another plug because Barry's a good dude. You can find his website at weprotect4u. Four is not the number, it's F-O-R, weprotect4u.com. So, and Barry sent me a copy of his book. I haven't had a chance to read it. Doesn't look like I'm going to have a chance for a couple of weeks, but I really appreciate that, Barry doing that. Anyway, I will also have, speaking of Mr. Holland, I will have Mike Holland, who is an MLA in New Brunswick, I believe. And I spoke to Mike on the phone, great guy. And he's agreed to give me an interview next week. So hopefully I'll have a chance to put that on the podcast next week. But again, no promises. So for the next couple of weeks, cut me a break. I will try to bring you actual updates like I am right now. But the podcast won't be what it normally is until I can get a hold of my time because of all the extra burden that we at the CCFR are doing to get our case together for the lawsuit. Okay, so I've talked nonstop. I appreciate all of the support out there. Again, if you're waiting to donate to the CCFR specifically for the legal fund, a link will be coming when we file. So you're gonna have to wait a week or two for that. If you donate now, you can put an annotation, legal fund only. That's okay, we will take that. That'll go in the trust account. Anyway, all right, take care, guys, and we will see you in a week.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.